It's 6 in the morning, but our spirits are soaring. We all rise for our morning devotion.
Hello and welcome to Tuning Fork, a time where we can digest morning devotion and get in tune with God's vibration.
Yay. Welcome back to Tuning Fork. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever, whenever you're listening. We have two amazing older sisters here with us, Satomi and Jennifer Pierce. And yeah, I'll just get straight into it and have them introduce themselves.
Satomi? Yeah. All right. Awesome. Hello. Nice to meet you guys. My name is Satomi Kikuchi. I am 26 years old from Los Angeles, California. I went to California State University, Los Angeles. I graduated a couple years ago, so I'm very old, with an option of rehabilitation and therapeutic exercise. And right now, I am currently the Sub-Region 5 YIM coordinator and working for the church. Nice to meet you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Pierce. I'm 26, also from Los Angeles. I went to Loyola Marymount University with a major in screenwriting, and now I go to Unification Theological Seminary for my master's with my major in religious studies, and I am currently the Secretary General of Subregion 5.
Nice. Yeah, I'm really glad that both of you guys are here. Like, I've always just, like, known of you guys. And when I went to LA for school, like, there were, like, pockets of moments where, like, I would talk to you guys and we would, like, discuss. But it would always be, like, you guys listening to me rather than, like, me hearing your guys' story. So, yeah. So maybe, do you guys want to share a little bit about the ministry that you guys work in and what drew you into that specific ministry?
Yeah, of course. So again, I'm the Sub-Region 5 YIM coordinator. YIM stands for Youth and Young Adult. So I get to work with all the young people of our region, which is the best job ever. Youth ministry, this is a good question, actually. It kind of made me think, like, yeah, why am I so passionate about youth ministry? It's always been my passion. I feel like it always will be. Contributing to this aspect of our faith community, just something very, very dear to my heart, and something that, you know, I hope I could always be involved in no matter how old I get. There's a lot of reasons why I think I'm drawn to it. It's the most fun. I love camps and workshops. It's the most rewarding job. I think also just being the oldest sister position in my, like, own personal family. Growing up, I think it's just where I feel the most happy, the most fulfilled, the most comfortable, you could say. And I think there's just something so special about like seeing your younger brothers and sisters, you know, like learn and grow, you know, into these, you know, amazing individuals. I think the best feeling, like, when someone who you led, you know, in like a team for like a summer camp or something, you know, is now like your core team, is on your core staff, you know, like doing, you know, the same things as you, and, you know, you can rely on them as your peer kind of thing. That's an awesome feeling. And so, yeah, I think all those things kind of draw me into youth ministry, and it outweighs all my, you know, fears of this, like, public speaking, my self-consciousness, you know, like doubts about my leadership skills, things like that. Yeah, being in front of people in general, that used to scare me so much, but I'm able to, like, overcome those, you know, even though it's still there. But I think, yeah, those things would never prevent me from doing youth ministry, because it's so important to me. But yeah, I guess, hope that answers.
Beautiful. Questions. Yeah, I feel like you've, like, when I was in LA, like, you really were, like, such a natural mother figure to, like, all the brothers, younger brothers and sisters there. Like, the role fits you so well, and, like, it's just so natural for you. Yeah.
Thank you, Julia.
What about you, Jennifer?
Yeah. I also agree Satomi is the best at what she does. But I am the Secretary General for Sub-Region 5. It's been a long week. Reverend Larry Krishnick used to be the sub-regional director for Sub-Region 5. And he used to have this joke when Reverend Tengen was his secretary general, that Reverend Tengen was more general than secretary. And I'm actually more secretary than general. So most of what I do is a lot of communications in that area. So I kind of coordinate between these different leaders of all of the ministries and communities in our sub-region. We have, I don't actually know the count of states. I think it's like 9 or something in our sub-region. It's like 5 states in District 13, 3 in 12, and 3 in 14. So yeah, that's however many that is. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, that's okay. So I work directly under Reverend Kevin Thompson, who is currently our sub-regional director. And how did I get here is so funny. I don't know, it's kind of long-winded. I still work actually for a national CARP, Collegiate Association for the Research of Principals, as the communications coordinator on a part-time basis. And I've been doing that since 2017, and in 2019, I felt like, because I was doing that part-time, I had like this gap in what I could be doing. So at that time, Sub-Region 5 was looking for another YAM coordinator. So I offered for that position. And then in half a year, Reverend Larry Krishnick wanted me to step into the secretary general role instead, because Reverend Tengen needed to focus on his district in Southern California. So I kind of ended up there. Don't know how that happened, but that's what happened. I don't know if it's like a passion thing, but my passion is to serve true parents. And so like I just made myself available. I think that's really what happened. And so when they asked me to do these things, you know, with a lot of prayer and thought, of course, but just that I really wanted to offer something. And in this way, I can connect with a lot of brothers and sisters in our sub-region and aunts and uncles. And it's so great to like be able to serve them and help them and connect them. And, you know, the job can be frustrating, but it's also kind of like I can see it on like a bigger scale. So it kind of gives me this like balanced perspective. I think when we're all working in our local areas, it's hard to see where all of it's going. But I get to see all the reports and that's really exciting. I don't think I'm like particularly like talented, but I just like being willing to do the work is like really what helps me get through some of the more challenging weeks or months. And I also get to do cool things. Like I went to the World Summit last year. So I got to go to Korea and like help out as staff. And that was really exciting. See VIPs from around the world and see Mother. And so it has a lot of exciting opportunities.
Yeah, you also went to Kodiak, right?
I did. Yeah, we did like a staff retreat thingy with the district pastors. With the district pastors. That was still when Uncle Larry was our sub-regional director, and he was like, "I really want to take you guys." And that was my first time, and it was really exciting. I caught this king salmon who was very resistant, but it was fun.
Nice. Yeah, did you guys ever imagine yourself like taking on this role?
No.
Never.
What?
Yeah.
Never. I got the award for what is it, most shy in 5th grade. So no.
Oh, me too. I forgot what grade. I got a couple of those, I think. The most quiet or something.
Yeah, like most quiet, most shy.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, it's crazy how like if you think about who you were like 5 or even like a year ago, there's like a huge difference. And even for me, like when I think about like who I was a year ago, it's like I'm like completely shocked of like, wow, I wouldn't have even imagined be who I am now, or like I would be doing what I'm doing now.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, like it kind of, you know, goes back to what Jennifer was saying about like willingness. You know, it's not. Yeah, I think I'm all willingness. Like I have no skill at all. It's all just this humble heart of, you know, I'm available. I'm not the best, but at least I'm willing to be here, and I'm willing to make mistakes, and, you know, even make a fool of myself, you know, at times, as long as, you know, I can help someone.
Yeah. I was actually listening to a different podcast. I don't know if you guys know Brené Brown. She's like pretty popular, but she has a podcast called Daring to Lead. And she talks about how, like, in order to be whatever great leader is, like, you have to be courageous and vulnerable and be that person to, like, you know, make mistakes and be humble, basically. Yeah, like what you were describing, Satomi. And yeah, I think that's completely true.
Yeah.
Going into like morning devotion, because might be a jump of a topic, but I'm curious to know, like, whether, like, how has morning devotion like impacted the way that you, whether it's impacted like, yeah, your willingness, has it inspired you to be more motivated, or help you realize like what it means to have like a true heart of service, you know, for the bigger picture. Yeah, do you guys want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can share. I think early on in morning devotion, I think Dr. Yang was talking something about doing things with like a heart of like gratitude and love and joy, as opposed to like obligation and condition. And I think that, because I mean, yeah, I'm willing, but also sometimes things can be like pretty conditional. So I feel like just being like, oh, what are things that, like, even my job, my life, this ministry, how can I make that like actual like joyful offerings to Heavenly Parent in like a sustainable way for myself? And I think that's kind of like been the biggest change for me since starting morning devotion. Rethink, not like nothing like externally necessarily has changed, just like rethinking about like, why do I do things, and is how can I really offer more fully instead of just like mechanically, you know. That's something that came up for me.
Yeah, like, because sometimes I can totally resonate with like being on autopilot, like kind of just doing it because, you know, you're maybe your body's like used to doing, you know, the things that you're doing, like planning, and I mean there's so much more behind what you guys do, but yeah, it's easy to get into that kind of mindset.
Yeah,
what about you, Satomi?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the most important points or things we have to remember as a youth leader or a leader in anything is to really take care of yourself before you take care of other people. And I think like, we're, you know, you know, Julia and Jennifer too, you guys both on youth ministry and taking care of young adults and things like that. But I think, you know, it could be a position where you're just, you know, constantly like, you know, giving and giving and giving and you're trying to find more energy to give more, and then, you know, maybe like resting just like a little bit, and then just like, you know, more kind of thing. You know, which anyways, yeah. And just like, you just need to kind of find yourself, you know, in like a space and time to recharge, and like a way to refuel yourself. Because, you know, if I want my kids to be growing their heart of Chojong and, you know, growing their hearts closer to God and true parents, and I'm not able to do that, then, you know, there's a disconnect, and I'm gonna, you know, eventually start feeling like guilty or, you know, unworthy, or, you know, like something's not right. And, you know, and it's hard to be a leader, you know, when you're in that kind of position. And, you know, also because people are spiritual beings, I think, you know, the people that you're interacting with, they can definitely feel that too. So yeah, I think, you know, it's really important for, you know, for myself, that I'm constantly feeling like, yeah, inspired and energized and like having new realizations and kind of having my heart, you know, like stretched out and like feeling challenged even, you know. And that's ideal, but realistically it's really difficult to do that. At least it was for me. And I, you know, to be real, I definitely felt myself kind of in this like, kind of static, kind of like fixed, comfortable place, I think, where I wasn't really growing and challenging myself in my life of faith and my life of like prayer and things like that. And so I'm really grateful for morning devotion, actually. I think it's truly a blessing because it's given me kind of like a space and almost like a reason to do that, you know, like I was forced, I might have been like forced into it at first, you know, but it's so much easier in a way, like when you are doing it with like a whole family of people who are also inspired and, you know, you're sharing your realization, inspirations and things like that. And, you know, you have someone like, you know, Dr. Young, you know, yelling at you and kind of like shaking you up every single day. You know, it's hard not to be moved by that. So I think it came at such a perfect timing in my life, and I'm really grateful for it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm really glad you bring that up, like being able to take care of yourself. I saw this really short video, but basically it was like three cups stacked like in a line, and this lady was pouring like a kettle of water into each of the cups, right? And so the kettle is supposed to represent yourself, and so like you're distributing your resources, your efforts into these different people, right? But like when you look at your own like the kettle, like the water starts to decrease, right? So then she's like, okay, rather than, you know, distributing your energy that way, she stacked the cups, so it's kind of like, you know, when you like stack cups up, it's kind of like a pyramid. So she stacked them all up, and the first cup is actually yours. It's like represents you. And then she starts pouring the water. And so it kind of works as a fountain where once the cup is full, then it'll pour into the other people. Yeah.
Oh,
so
it's
cute.
Yeah. It's like a visual representation of like, you know, when you take care of yourself, like you could, it's, you don't run into like a burnout or
right,
which can happen a lot.
That's fusion. That's ministry.
What do you guys do when you guys run into like a burnout?
I think I didn't know for a long time, and right. I experienced burnout so many times.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's. Yeah, I think I used to have like that, you know, just push through like the really struggling things. But I think like things that help me is just to like go outside. I try to take walks. It's supposed to be daily. It's not actually daily, but, you know, just to like not to be outside, especially in like since we've been in quarantine for so long, just to like be in something that I'm not looking at a screen. So if like someone's like, oh, I want to make a quick like Target run or whatever, I'll usually go with them, because then it like forces me to get away from the screen. I find that helps me. And like seeing other people, having dinner with my family, like making that time. Like sometimes there's meetings through that time, so no choice. But like when I can, you know, joining dinner with my family is really important to me. And having that helps buffer a lot of things, I think. Also getting good amounts of sleep.
Yes, sleep is so important.
For sure.
Talking about sleep, was it hard for you guys to like wake up and like tune into morning devotion in the beginning?
Oh my god.
Like, how did you guys get over the fact that it's like, you know, your physical body kind of has to get over, you know, this or has to get used to this new habit, you know?
It's really easy if you don't get up. If you know that if you don't get up, morning devotion won't happen. It happens really fast if you know that everyone is counting on you, and that you will get up no matter what, no matter how tired.
Jennifer has a bigger burden on that on her end.
because we do West Coast morning devotion, so we're hosting the Zoom meeting, and I get up at 5 just to make sure that I'm awake.
And she messages me 5:00 506. I don't know why 506. 506 every morning.
Wow.
We say Ohio to each other.
And wow.
Then, like, good morning. And then if I don't respond back to her, she knows that I'm still sleeping. So she gives me a call. So it's kind of like a system we've made. It really helps to have an accountability partner, I think, is what I'm trying to say. It really, really helps. If I was by myself, impossible.
Do you guys do anything in preparation until, like, the Zoom link is open at 6? Like, in order, like, your own morning habits, personally?
I'm sorry to say that there's not much in the way of spiritual. We actually open the meeting at 5:35.
Oh, I see.
So there's, like, a little bit of a waiting time with music.
Yeah. I actually never attended a...
Like, oh, it's physical. Okay.
Yeah, so that's probably why I didn't know. But
oh, really?
Nice. I've only listened to the recordings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Julia, come on, you gotta do it.
I mean, I used to listen to the recordings.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, so there's like a music. That time period is nice to be reflective because there's like holy music playing and stuff. Before that, I just make sure that I have like all the backup links. So like Satomi does all of the tech link, like screen sharing. And so, but I put it on backup in case her like internet cuts out or something, and then I can just jump in. It's happened.
Yeah, I think just to share, I think at first when I was doing this, like I was so nervous, cause, you know, it's a tech stuff. I couldn't even focus on like the content. I was so like worried about, oh, is it gonna be okay? Do I have all the links ready? So like even that, like 30 minutes before it started, like I couldn't even like do anything else. I was just like stuck sitting in front of my computer in case like the music stopped or whatever. But you know, we've done it for a while now. We counted the days the other day, I forget how many days. For West Coast. But yeah, like now I kinda try to use that time just to kind of like, you know, recenter myself. Reverend Thompson, he always asks someone to pray, you know, to start off with. So I kind of like prepare a prayer in case I get called on, or because we do tech, we don't join the what's called the breakout rooms. So I try to use that time to just like just think about a few gratitude points. I just kind of do that practice on my own as a good habit. On my busy mornings, I'm like brushing my hair.
Yeah.
Brushing my teeth behind the camera.
I'm glad I'm like hearing all like the behind the scenes, because like it's something you would have never imagined, like what would be happening in preparation for, you know, the morning devotion, which is great. It's like a sneak peek.
I have to make a confession that I've overslept and missed one morning devotion. This happened like a few weeks ago, I think.
It was fine. It was honestly one of those, like, if you oversleep that much that you didn't hear your phone, it's like your body's telling you you need sleep. You know what I mean? So I was just like, yeah, I'm not even gonna wake her up. I'll just make sure she's okay later.
I wake up to Jennifer's texts and phone calls. It was like
her brother actually woke
me.
I was like, is she okay?
Is she breathing?
is she fine? And he's like, yeah, she probably just slept. And I was like just check, please.
I know. I woke up and I was like, oh my god, what did I do?
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, anyways.
Probably, yeah, it was probably your body telling you needed the rest.
So it was fine.
I don't have enough yojong.
Do you guys have like any tips or like advice for, you know, younger brothers and sisters who want to, you know, have this urge to want to slowly become a leader in their community? Like any words of advice or words of encouragement? Yeah.
I always say, if I could do it, honestly, anyone can do it. And I really, really mean that. I'm not, you know, trying to sound humble or anything like that, but I 100% from the bottom of my heart believe that if I could do it, anyone can do it. Because, yeah, I was always the most shyest. I don't even know why I'm in this position, you know, like, because I hated public speaking and all those things. And even now, like, I you know there's so many skills I wish I had. And, you know, I'm always, you know, looking to Jennifer and Julia and, you know, our dear sister, Gerlin, and Gabby, and all these wonderful leaders that we have in our community that with, like, so much, like, envy, like, oh, I wish I could speak as well as her, things like that. But, you know, over time, I'm fortunate I was able to, you know, realize that, yeah, like, God isn't looking for my abilities or my skills, but my willingness. So that gives me a lot of confidence. So know that, first of all, and just start with something that you are interested in and you would feel like you want to do. So I don't know what kind of contest we're talking about, but like, yeah, if you want to start by doing like activities, you love activities and you want to help by running activities for a youth group, like, I think you could do that, you know, and you could just help run one game, you know, per workshop. And that's something small that you could start off with, but something that's fun for you. So I think, yeah, it should be something that you really enjoy, if it's something that you want to continue. And that's going to give you motivation to push through all the other difficulties and challenges that you might face.
Yeah, second her part, her sharing. I think, yeah, definitely, like, I know maybe for some people, because they see me on these national screens or whatever, they think I have it all together and I was just like that. Actually, that's not true. The first ever public speech I ever gave in seventh grade, because we had to, because it was an assignment, I was shaking so hard. I was like, my knees were like literally knocking together. And I was like, because I don't speak in front of people. And so I was like, oh my gosh. And like, I was like so comfortable, like not saying anything. And like, you know, but you know, if you're really, but I firmly believe, like, for one, like, you can learn to do anything. Like, even if you feel like, oh, I'm not really good at this, you can learn to do it. If, you know, you find the right opportunities or something's calling you, it'll come naturally. And, you know, just that, all of us have like something that God has given us that really God wants to offer to everyone else. So there's something that you can do. It doesn't have to be in front of people. It could be behind the scenes. It could be leading something. There's something within you that's really a gift from God for others that is really precious. And so have confidence that there's some aspect that people will gain a lot from by you stepping up or agreeing to step up, as in some cases you get asked. And you'll gain a lot from that too. So that's my firm belief. But I also second everything Satomi said.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, like, you can, like, for me at least, I had like a lot of doubtful thoughts, like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, you know, you start comparing yourself to all these people. But yeah, if it wasn't for my mom asking me to call Gabby, if, like, about, like, starting a service project, like, I wouldn't, like, she wouldn't have asked me if I wanted to, like, join the young adult committee. And, like, and that wasn't even my reason for calling her, you know. I wanted to call her to ask her if, like, if they continued, like, picking up trash on Saturday, because my mom asked me to, you know, call her. So, like, I don't know, I feel like maybe that can give some sort of inspiration of, like, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Right.
And yeah, if you do have the willingness, then, like, you know, a door will open unknowingly, even if you yourself aren't prepared for it. Like, maybe unconsciously were preparing for it your whole time.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I always used to feel like, oh, they don't need my help. I can't do anything. We need your help. there's always something that, you know, we can have you do, or anyways, yeah, we always need help in youth ministry. More the better. Bigger team, bigger team, the better. So, yeah, just wanted to know.
Okay, maybe we'll bring it to a close. I have some like rapid fire questions that you can answer like either in a sentence or a word. So the first one is, what is a new habit you've been meaning to implement into your daily routine?
Ooh. Walking. walking while listening to a podcast. Because there's so many, you know, there's this one, there's LA Young Adult started one too, Know Your Roots, and that's always that's a good podcast as well. And you know, then other places too across the country, not just in our faith community, just you know, anywhere. So walking and listening to a podcast, I also gained a lot of weight during this pandemic.
Same.
I started recently, and I hope I continue it.
Yeah. Surprisingly, it's hard to get in 10,000 steps. Like,
yeah,
it's
a lot of steps.
Sometimes I look at my health thing and I'm like, I've only walked like 100 steps in like a day. I feel so ashamed.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no,
I feel you. I think I'm not used to being at home. You know, I was always like, you know, working and always out. I never even thought about like the number of steps I took or like even like cutting down on my food. because I just didn't have to, but then it's so bad. I gained so much weight and it's like, wow. exercising or like running. It's just the walking and like, you know, being on your feet.
What about you, Jennifer?
I would like to do a little bit more hundake. I think I don't do it. I think there's like, you know, if you sometimes when you're like involved in ministry so much, you're doing all of these things, you're like, oh, I don't have time for like one more thing, but I do want to engage in some more hundake. I think I would, you know, I really want to have more give and take with True Parents, where it's like, since I've already started walking, I guess I can't say I want to implement that.
I definitely do feel like notice the difference between like starting my day with morning devotion or some sort of hundoke compared to like when I don't do anything. What is one thing you're deeply grateful for?
So many things.
Just one thing. You have to just choose one.
Morning devotion.
Or you can make it.
We're on the topic.
That's a cop-out answer. No, it's fine. It's fine. You can stick.
I'm really grateful for Dr. Young. For his heart for the second generation. That's something I'm deeply, deeply grateful for, especially the older second gens. May have, you know, gone through a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, kind of like distance themselves from the church. I hear that, you know, Dr. Young like mentions that you know, multiple times in his guidances, and I'm just so grateful for that, because, you know, I'm 26 and I have a lot of, you know, older brothers and sisters, even people I grew up with, you know, who kind of, you know, lost hope and their faith and, you know, kind of had to distance themselves, right, because of different circumstances that happened to them. So it's just really nice to hear someone like Dr. Young, like, being so, like positive, just, like, in encouraging us. And, you know, saying like, you know, don't give up, you know, like, and as long as you don't give up and you continue to offer, you know, your jansong, like, you know, there's going to be a way for them to return and, you know, to be connected again. And that just brings a lot of peace in my heart, and just a lot of hope to hear like his strong like determination and declaration. So yeah, really, really grateful for Dr. Young for that. Is that good, Jennifer?
I was just, you know.
What about you, Jennifer?
Oh man. I mean, other than like the usual heavenly parents, true parents, that kind of thing, I am deeply grateful actually for Satomi. It's really hard to do what we're doing all the time, but it's so she's so like reliable, you know. I think it's been one of those like we have great leadership, but they're also very visionary, and it's just helpful to have someone who's also kind of practical, so we can like have some implemented things and like get things done, and also so I can sometimes let out some complaints, and then she's like helpfully listens while I work it all out. Yeah, so I'm really grateful to have her, and yeah, do this with her morning devotion and all the other things.
Julie, I changed mine.
No, you can't take it
I
back. You have to stick with it.
It's too late now.
It's a given. She already knows. I express it to her all the time. She's the best. She really is the best.
Oh.
I love you, Jennifer.
Okay, last question. Anything we can look forward to in the future from your specific ministry?
Ooh, yeah, lots of things are always happening in the youth ministry. Ocean Challenge. That's super exciting. Ooh. I know they're already full. But are they still looking for staff, like photographers?
I actually think we chose our photographer today. Yeah.
But
Great
you can still
then.
support, right?
Yes, exactly. You can
Yes.
still support
Yeah.
Julia.
You can
You can share.
sponsor a sponsee by going on their website.
Yes.
Yeah, and help a brother sister out too.
I love
Yeah.
that idea. Is that something you just started this year or?
Yeah, it was a new idea that Tasna thought of and implemented. Yeah. Yeah.
I think so genius. I love it. Yeah. So yes, Ocean Challenge. So, and Kodiak is such a beautiful, beautiful island. Tasna's always saying this, whenever someone comes visit, like please bring more people. Before I step down from this role, my goal is to have a workshop there. I don't know, just like all the youth.
Wow.
Bigger than, because Ocean Challenge, I know it's going to be a limited number, but I want to just bring everyone there and enjoy true parents' history and the nature out there. So, anyways, Ocean Challenge. I'm really excited about that.
Nice.
I thought she was gonna have more things.
Oh, I mean, I could go on and on, but no.
I don't really have a specific ministry, but there are things happening in the sub-region and around the world, I guess. There's a yeah. I
A
mean,
lot
I
of
don't
things.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I there's just like some stuff is like big, like True Mother's coming back to the United States at the end of May, early June. So we're gonna have a blessing festival for her and like make our offering. So that kind of stuff is really exciting. And then we're, each sub-region is being tasked with doing ACLC pastor summits to lead up to that. So sub-region 5 is from the 28th to the 30th of this month. So if you guys can have keep that in your prayers and support that. Yeah, that's what we're working on. Big things, all for Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of events are happening.
Yeah.
The blessing this Saturday. Congrats to
Yes.
all the couples. Ooh, excited to see my friends in the beautiful dresses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on. It was a lot of fun chit-chatting and catching up and
Yeah.
like knowing more about what you guys are doing and how you guys got there and things like that. So,
Thank you, Julia.
Yeah,
yeah.
thank you.
You're
I'm
grateful.
grateful for Julia and the Bay Area
Yes.
team.
Yeah. I think this is such a great thing you guys are doing. Thank you so much.
Nice. Okay, so yeah, we're gonna close the podcast. So thank you for listening wherever you guys are listening from, either YouTube or Spotify or other platforms. So this was Julia
Tell me.
and Jennifer.
Tuning out.
Thank you, Naomi Scharf and Faith Wong, for creating our jingle. If you'd like, you can tune in to Morning Devotion with the links in our bio and hopefully be a guest on our podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you on our next episode of Tuning Fork.